Do you think we make up the stories we write?
Yeah, I do, says Henri.
Do you still have the notes that you wrote? I say. He looks at me and nods.
I'm telling you, they're worthless. Most of what I wrote are scribbles on their plan to destroy the human race.
I need to see them, I nearly bellow. Where? Where are they?
He motions towards a desk against one of the walls.
On the desk, on sticky notes.
I walk over to the desk, which is covered with papers, and start looking through the sticky notes. I find some very vague notes on the Mogadorians' hope to conquer Earth. Nothing concrete, no plans or details, just a few indistinct words. Overpopulation, Earth's resources, biological warfare. The planet Mogador. I come to the note I'm looking for. I read it carefully 3 or 4 times. Planet Lorien. The Lorik. 1 to 3 dead. 4? Question mark. 7 trailed in Spain. 9 on the run in SA.
What is he talking about? What do these numbers have to do with invading Earth?
Why is there a question mark after the number 4? I ask.
Because he said something about it, but he talked too fast and I didn't get it.
You've got to be kidding me.
He shakes his head. I sigh. Just my luck, I think. The one thing said about me is the one thing that wasn't written.
What does S.A. mean? I ask.
South America.
Did he say where in South America?
No.
I nod, stare at the slip of paper. I wish I could have heard the conversation, that I could have asked questions of my own. Do the Mogadorians really know where Seven is? Are they really following him or her? If so, the Lorik charm still holds. I fold the sticky notes and slip them into my back pocket.
Do you know what the numbers mean?
He asks. I shake my head. I have no idea.
I don't believe you,
he says.
Shut up,
Sam says, and pokes him in the gut with the heavy end of the bat. Is there anything else you can tell me? I ask. He thinks about it for a moment, then says,
I think bright light bothers them. It seemed to cause them pain when they took their sunglasses off.
We hear a noise downstairs, like someone trying to slowly open the door. We look at each other. I look to the man in the chair.
Who is that?
I quietly say.
Them.
What?
They said they'd be watching. That they knew someone might be coming.
We hear quiet footsteps on the first floor. Henri and Sam look at each other, both terrified.
Why didn't you tell us?
They said they'd kill me and my family.
I run to the window, look out the back. We're on the second floor. It's a 20-foot drop to the ground. There's a fence around the yard. 8 feet of wood slats. I move quickly back to the stairs and peer down. I see 3 huge figures in long black trench coats, black hats, and sunglasses. They're carrying long, gleaming swords. There's no way we're going to make it down the stairs. My legacies are growing stronger. But they aren't strong enough to take on 3 Mogadorians. The only way out is through one of the windows, or over a small porch at the front of the room. The windows are smaller, but the backyard will allow us to escape unseen. If we go out the front, we will most likely be visible. I hear noise coming from the basement, and the Mogadorians talking to each other in an ugly, guttural language. 2 of them move towards the basement, while the 3rd starts walking towards the stairs that lead to us. I have a second or 2 to act. The windows will break if we go through them. Our only chance is the doors leading to the second floor porch. I open them using telekinesis. It's black outside. I hear footsteps coming up the stairs. I pull Sam and Henri over to me, and I throw each of them over my shoulders like sacks of potatoes.
What are you doing?
Whispers Henri. I have no idea, I say, but I hope it works. Just as I see the top of the first Mogadorian's hat, I sprint towards the doors, and right before the ledge of the porch, I jump. We go flying into the night sky. For 2 or 3 seconds, we're floating. I see cars moving down the street beneath us. I see people on the sidewalk. I don't know where we're going to land, or if my body will support all the weight I'm carrying when we do. When we hit the roof of a house across the street, I collapse, with Sam and Henri on top of me. I get my breath knocked out of me, and it feels like my legs are broken. Sam starts to stand, but Henri keeps him down. He drags me to the far end of the roof and asks if I can use my telekinesis to get him and Sam onto the ground. I can, and I do. He tells me I need to jump. I stand on legs that are wobbly and still hurt, and just before I jump, I turn and see the 3 Mogadorians are standing on the porch across the street looking confused. Their swords are gleaming. Without a second to spare, we got away without them seeing us. We get to Sam's truck. Henri and Sam have to help me walk. Bernie is there waiting for us. We decide to leave Henri's truck because they most likely know what it looks like and would track it. We pull out of Athens and Henri starts driving back to Paradise, which it really might be after the night we just had. Henri starts from the beginning, telling Sam everything. He doesn't stop until we are pulling into our driveway. It's still dark. Sam looks over at me.
"Unbelievable," he says, and smiles. "It's the coolest thing I've ever heard of."
I look at him, and I see the validation he has always looked for in his life, an affirmation that the time he spent with his nose in the conspiracy rags looking for clues to his father's disappearance wasn't in vain.
"Are you really resistant to fire?" he asks.
"Yes," I say.
"God, that's awesome."
"Thanks, Sam."
"Can you fly?" he asks.
At first, I think he is joking, but then I see that he isn't. "I can't fly. I'm resistant to fire and can turn my hands into lights. I have telekinesis, which I only learned to use yesterday. More legacies are supposed to come soon. We think so, anyhow. But I have no idea what they will be until they actually develop."
"I hope you learn to make yourself invisible," Sam says.
"My grandfather could, and anything he touched also became invisible."
"Seriously?"
"Yes." He starts laughing.
"I still can't believe you two drove all the way to Athens by yourselves," Henri says. "You guys are really something. When we stopped for gas, I saw that the plates have been expired for 4 years. I really don't see how you made it without getting stopped."
"Well, you can count on me from now on," says Sam. "I'll do whatever it takes to help stop them, especially because I bet they're the ones who took my dad."
"Thanks, Sam," says Henri. "The most important thing you could do is stay quiet with our secret. If anyone else finds out about this, it could lead to our deaths."
"Don't worry, I'll never tell anyone. I don't want John using his powers on me."
We laugh and thank Sam again, and he pulls away. Henri and I go inside. Even though I slept on the drive back, I'm still exhausted. I lie down on the couch. Henri sits in a chair across from me. "Sam won't say anything," I say. He doesn't respond, just stares at the floor. "They don't know we're here," I say. He looks up at me. "They don't," I say. "If they knew, they'd be following us now." He stays silent. I can't take it. "I'm not leaving Ohio on nothing more than speculation." Henri stands.
"I'm happy that you've made a friend, and I think Sarah is great, but we can't stay. I'm going to start packing," he says.
"No."
"When we are packed, I'll go into town and buy a new truck. We need to get out of here. They might not have followed us, but they know how close they were at catching us, and that we might still be nearby. I believe the man who called the magazine did, in fact, capture one of them. That was his story, that he captured one, and tortured it until it talked, and then he killed it.